In a world full of voices, blocking out the noise is vital. The Bible is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, this show is dedicated to providing you with a clear sound of the Scriptures, which are inspired by the Spirit of God and passed down by apostles and prophets. I am your host, Delivering the Heat, Gerald Joseph, a preacher and avid student of the Word, and you are now listening to the Holy Fuel Podcast. Welcome one more time. Wow. Here we are once again, getting into this new episode on the podcast. And so if you have tuned in expecting to hear from the journey through Joshua, well, you've tuned into the right thing, because that's exactly what we're doing. We are still in the book of Joshua, and our goal is to go through the book of Joshua, and we will stop at every chapter, and we will make at least one highlight of the chapter, and we will dive in. And so I just want to dig into this, because I believe that this will be vital and important. As you know, we have gone through Joshua chapter 1, 2, and 3, and currently we are on Joshua chapter 4. So I want to start this off by reading the entire text. So bear with me as I read this. Hopefully I don't jumble my words. So here we go. Joshua chapter 4, it reads like this. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priest passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000, ready for war, passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And so simply, with this being said, I'm entitling this Stones, Not Statues. Once again, that is Stones, Not Statues. What we must understand from this lengthy passage of scripture is just this key element, is that God commanded the people of Israel to take stones out of the Jordan and to stack them up, and these stones would serve as a memorial. You see, when the people had completely crossed over, God commanded Joshua to take 12 men, one from each tribe, and to take 12 stones from where the feet of the priest stood. And they would take these stones and place them in their lodging place, namely Gilgal. And what they did was just place the stones in a pile. And this served as a monument of a remarkable event. And what this would be called in modern day is a cairn. A cairn is simply a stack of stones. And this served as a sign and a memorial, as the scripture said, a sign among you. And for when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? You see, we need to understand something. There's nothing special about stones. A pile of stones was simply to trigger the memories of what the Lord had done. You see, you can't just look at stones and actually understand what they mean. There is something that would trigger you to, as you look at these stones, to ask, what exactly is this here for? You see, if you stumbled across a stack or a pile of rocks, you might have absolutely no clue what it was. And it triggers you. It triggers whoever views this monument to truly ask. There was nothing that really gave it away unless you knew. See, the question is, what do these stones mean to you? And you would say, well, the meaning is that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the Bible also lets us know that Joshua set up 12 stones in the Jordan. But the key verse in this is the last one. And I'm going to read the last verse again. Joshua chapter 4, verse 24 says this, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So it begs the question, why stones? You see, this triggers me to a verse, or a few verses, I should say, in Exodus chapter 20. Because in Exodus, God delivers the law, and really the gist of this might be found here. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 22 to 26 says this, and the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourself gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. And if you make an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. And you shall not go up by the steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it. And from this passage of scripture, what you realize is that God has always prohibited hewn stones for his altars. You see, God seems to have a disdain when things are formal, or better yet, when you have a particular formality to the way something is built up. Even if it's something that is built up for God, God is going to be very involved with the how this is built up. And God always prohibits hewn stone. I wonder if you caught it. Why? Because your tool profanes it. He also says that he doesn't want anything to be made with your altar with him. That means no gods of silver or gold. And this goes really deep to the human tendency, because the human tendency is always on form. The human tendency is always to strike something that meets the eye or the appetite. The human tendency is to build up the Tower of Babel. The Bible lets us know that they built Babel out of brick, baked bricks. And by this, they made this perfect structure that would reach to the quote-unquote heavens. Now, we know that's pretty much impossible for you to build something to reach the heavens. However, the problem with Babel is that it was the height of human technology, human ability. They decided that they were going to make a name for themselves. They were going to build a tower that reached into the heavens, and God was not pleased. God was not pleased with this quote unquote statue that they were building, because the human tendency is to build an art form that points to the artist and not the creator. See, when you want to build an altar, the thing is that you start decorating the altar that you build, and the decoration is not pleasing to God, because the decoration shifts the focus from the creator and puts the focus and the attention on the artist. If you're building an altar to the Lord, the altar needs to be for the Lord and not for you. I'm going to say that one more time. If you are building an altar to the Lord, that altar must be for the Lord. That means the allegiance of that altar must be undivided, and that it must be completely given over for the Creator. No gods of silver, no gods of gold, none of your formalities, but the altar belongs to God. If God is going to visit you on that altar, it cannot be made of hewn stone. It cannot be made of your own image. It cannot be made of your own form factors, but it must solely be for the Lord. Because the human tendency is to build a statue and not to stack stones. Because stones are rugged, stones are imperfect, stones don't have a proper form that you can link like bricks. Stones don't do that, but stones are of different shapes and sizes. And what you will find about the God of the Bible is that he only builds with stones, and he does not build with statues. When Nebuchadnezzar erected the statue in Babylon for everyone to bow before, there were three Hebrew boys, and they said, "We will not bow down to the statue, because we bow down to the one true God, the one true God who reigns over heaven and earth. And you know what? Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to a statue, because God is a God of stones, not statues." You see, a statue is a carved or cast figure of a person or animal, especially one that is life-size or larger. You see, a statue gives credit to the artist, and this is why your tool profanes the altar of God, because God is not interested at the wonders that you can build. God is not interested in the forms that you can form. God is not interested in what you are capable of doing. God is interested in obedience. God is interested to an unwavering dedication to him and to him alone. God is interested in a heart that is wholly his. That's what holiness is all about. Holy means completely dedicated to God. We often get holiness mixed up with separation from the world. But the thing is, separation from means you need to be separated unto. So that means holiness is not just you deciding not to do something, but holiness means that you're deciding not to do something so you can do something that pleases God. It means you're getting away from the world, but you're also drawing near to God. Holiness is about being wholly his. And that's the key to this. Holiness is not about just your formalities and your religiosity of separating from things that seem worldly, but holiness has everything to do with your dedication and consecration to God and to God alone. That's what holiness is all about. And that's exactly why God likes stones, not statues. You see, for example, when you think of the Statue of Liberty, that monumental statue that is in New York, what comes to your mind is that the French gave us this statue as a gift of their friendship. You see, statues shift the attention from the Creator, and it shifts that attention to the artist and the image. No one should look at the form of your altar. Your altar should be so given to God that everyone sees God and not your form. It's important for us to realize God commanded stones, not statues. Why does God desire this? Because the untouched stones of the Jordan, formed by the natural currents, gives the attention and credit to the master creator. It gives all of the attention to the one who formed these rocks. It had nothing to do with someone coming and chiseling these stones and making a form and decorating them. No, it was simply a pile of rocks. And the pile of rocks gives glory to the God who formed it. Because when something is solely dedicated to God, its worth comes from God. Its value comes from God. Everything about it comes from God. And God truly is the one who is glorified by a stone. I know it's not much when you see a stone, but when you ask, what do these stones mean to you? Let me tell you what the Lord has done. The Lord has brought us out of Egypt via the Red Sea, and the Lord also did the same thing here. He brought us through this Jordan on dry ground, and these stones just signify what God has done. Man, I don't know about you, but I can feel the anointing right now, because God uses stones. He uses people without a name. He uses people who don't have anything to offer. He uses the low of society. He uses weakness. He uses all these things, because your formalities mean nothing to God. Your religiosity cannot please God, but what pleases God is a simple obedience. And it doesn't matter the imperfections that you perceive in yourself. The stone is what God uses. God doesn't use the baked brick. God doesn't use the hewn stone. God doesn't use the gold. He doesn't use the silver. What God uses is the stone that is formed by his providence. He uses what he makes. He doesn't inhabit temples built with man's hands. God is not impressed. You see, Solomon built a temple, and it was beautiful, probably the most expensive and lavish structure on the face of the earth. But what you realize is that that meant nothing, because God would allow the Babylonians to interrupt the process. God would allow the Babylonians to come in and burn down that castle that the Hebrews made for God, because God said, I am not looking for you to build for me a house. I don't inhabit houses that you build. I inhabit what my own hands have made. And that is the key. That is the quintessential key to this. Stones, not statues, because God is not impressed at what you can do, but God is pleased by a stone that gives him glory. It's like Jesus said, if you prevent them from worshiping as he was entering Jerusalem with the triumphal entry, if you prevent them from crying out, the stones will cry out. Because God is looking for stones, not statues. Because stones give glory to God, not to you. See, no two stones would be the same, and their fit would be because of God's shaping of those stones, not the craftiness of people. And thus, the story would have to be conveyed by someone who knew the history. What do these stones mean to you? Well, the stones serve as a memorial of God's might and not of human ability. It was not for the world to know Israel, but it was for the world to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that God is to be revered. What do these stones mean to you? God, he's not interested in what you can do. He's not interested in your artistry. He's not interested in any of these things. What God is interested is in obedience. Do you remember Peter? Because Simon Peter, the Lord called him and said, I will make you fishers of men. And whenever Peter made that confession in Matthew chapter 16, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turned around and said, And you are Kephas. And what Kephas means is a rock or a stone. You see, Peter was a man with many foot and mouth moments. Peter was a man full of imperfections and flaws. Peter was not the perfect person, but Peter was the perfect candidate for God to work with. Why? Because Peter was a stone. He didn't have everything all together. All stones will not pile up perfectly, but one thing about a stone is that a stone gives glory to the God who made it and not to its ability. When you look at Peter's ministry, you realize Peter's ministry was never perfect. You see in Acts chapter 4, I do believe at the gate called Beautiful, how when they said, Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that lame man at the gate called Beautiful leapt up and walked with them to the temple for prayer. But what the people had realized when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what they realized is not that they were amazing people, but what they realized is that they were unlearned. And the quintessential key to this is that, however, they had been with Jesus. And that made the difference. The difference was not in their ability to articulate the message. The difference was not in their ability to quote unquote perform miracles, because even Peter says the name of Jesus is what has made this man well. What was so profound about Peter is that Peter was unlearned. And so whenever something was done, whether by the hands of Peter or any of the disciples in that matter, the real key is that glory was given to God, not to Peter, not to some stone. Glory was given to the one who created it. The glory was given to the creator of all things. Glory was always given to God. And not to human ability, not to eloquence, but the glory was to God. You know, there are many talented people in the world, but I'm going to tell you this. God doesn't need your talent. God wants your obedience. And that's what Peter's life was all about. It was simply obedience, because obedience can make God use something with quote unquote imperfections. It was not about Peter's performance. It was not about Peter's capabilities, but it was all about Peter's obedience. See, because Peter gives us the reality of what stones are truly for. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, as you come to him, and this is Jesus, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And catch this, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you living stones, you stones being built up into a house, you stones being stacked into a cairn, you stones who are a memorial to God, to the goodness of God, to the blessedness of the Creator, to the glory of the one who was worthy. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, when someone looks at your life, they should not see much, but what they do see should cause them to ask the question, what do these stones mean to you? And you should have the answer. Look what the Lord has done. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Oh, amen. And the song goes, he put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Listen, you are supposed to be a stone, not a statue. Women, you are a stone, not a statue. God loves you with all of your imperfections, with all your flaws, with everything that you think is a place for your insecurity. God has created perfectly because you give glory to him and not to what this world gives glory to. We're not giving glory to a poster plastered on a wall, but we're giving glory to the God who created you, and he created you perfectly imperfect. God desires stones, not statues, because as living stones, we are his masterpiece. And what that simply means, we are a poema, and that is a work of the works of God as creator. We are created in Christ for good works. That's Ephesians 2:10. In our development by the Lord, our lives ought to be for the glory of the Creator and not for the attention to ourselves. Understand this. Everything that you have been through, everything that you have gone through has brought you to a specific place, because there is something that only you can do for the kingdom of God, because no two stones are the same. We're all cut in different places by the currents of life. We're all formed in different ways and places. We have different traumas that we grew up in. We got different things that dictated the direction and the way our lives look. And God has used all those things to form us into the exact image that he's called us to be, so that we can bring glory, honor, and praise to him alone. Some come from a background of drug addiction. Some come from a background of promiscuity. Some come from a background of abuse. Some come from all different backgrounds. But this is used for the purpose of God, because we are created in Christ for good works. There is works that God has prepared for us to do, and we can only do them because of how life has formed us and how God in his sovereignty has molded and shaped us so that we would bear his image, so that we could reflect his glory to the world. So when someone looks at you and they ask you, what do these stones mean? You can boldly proclaim, look what the Lord has done, because your life ought to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God, because that's your reasonable service. And Paul even says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are created in Christ so that you can reflect the Creator. You don't look perfect, everything's not right, but the purpose of this is so that when someone looks at you, they can ask, what do these stones mean? And you can say, the Lord has done it. So let me land this plane. It's stones, not statues. Just like the stones served as a memorial unto all of what the Lord had done, we, as living stones, ought to reflect the same thing. What do these stones mean to you? You shall answer, look what the Lord has done, and by this they will not give glory to you, but they will give glory to the Creator. And I just want to close with this. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Child of God, I'm simply saying this. You are a living stone. In your life is going to have hiccups. It's not going to look perfect. However, God has specifically brought you out of the Jordan, and he has stacked you together with a whole household of faith. And out of living stones, he has built a temple for himself. He has built a cairn, and it doesn't look like much. It just looks like a pile of rocks. But I want you to understand this. And what you need to realize is when someone asks, what do these stones mean to you? You ought to say, look what the Lord has done. You ought to have a testimony, and you ought to testify of the wonderful works of God. And you ought to live a life that is pleasing to him, that's holy and acceptable, not just separated from, but separated unto God. So that when they ask, what does this devotion mean? They can glorify the Creator, so that the whole world would know that God is mighty and that he is to be revered in all the earth. So, why stones and not statues? Simple. So that the attention and glory is not directed toward us, but that all the glory, all the honor, all the praise is directed to the one who did it all, the one who brought you through your Jordan, the one who redeemed you by the mighty hand, the one who brought you out of bondage, the one that brought you out of Egypt so that the world would know him and not us. So with that, I hope this blesses you, and I hope you will be a stone and not a statue. So as per usual, God bless you. We love you, and peace. Thank you for tuning in to the show. This was the Holy Fuel Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, but always remember, His Word is the fuel for holiness.